disappointments, as hard as they are, give us an opportunity to cling to Jesus like he is all we have.
Am I going to choose to serve God wholeheartedly right where he has me, even if life never changes?
God does have a unique story for each one of us, and it's a path that he calls us to walk, the mountains and the valleys.
Disappointment doesn't have to ruin your life.
Dear young married couple, you know, none of us really plan on facing disappointment in our life because we have a plan. We see our life going in one direction, and when it doesn't happen, it's very easy to get discouraged. So this podcast is all about what to do when you're facing disappointment.
And we interviewed Kristen and Bethany from Girl Defined. And if you've been listening to our podcast for any time, you know that they have incredible stories to share. And they give you practical steps to take when you're facing disappointment. And while they share those practical steps in this interview, they share little pieces of their own story. And you know, you might be looking at this title thinking, oh, this is like kind of a dark or heavy subject. But I'll tell you, you will leave this episode feeling very encouraged. They share so many practical steps, but encouragement is a part of each of those steps.
Yes. So listen up and maybe sit back and look at your life. What season are you in? And I'm sure you're going to find some encouragement here.
Welcome, Kristen and Bethany, to the podcast. We're so happy to have you guys back with us today. You guys have been on the podcast several times and always have such incredible stuff to share with our audience. So thanks for being back on, ladies.
Welcome, guys.
Oh, absolutely. We love it. I mean, y'all talk about our favorite topic, like love, romance, marriage, yes. Relationships.
So right?
It's like, yes, when we get to talk to y'all, it's just, you know, it's a good day.
Yeah. Yay. For those who don't know, I have been a fan of Girl Defined for a long time. So if you've been listening to the podcast, you already know that. But if you're new to the podcast, you should go back and listen to some prior episodes we've had with Kristen alone, Bethany alone, with them together, about different books that they've put out about their stories. And they'll share bits and pieces of their story today, I'm sure, because today we're talking about not part of the plan. When you face disappointment, what do you do? That's what we're covering today.
Yeah. I mean, because you know, nobody plans for being disappointed.
Right. It's true.
I think, but everybody goes through life and does face disappointment. Yeah. And we could all probably bring back to mind people that have faced those disappointment and didn't go through it very well. And then, of course, people have gone through it well. So it's special to have you guys reflecting on your own journeys and sharing with us, okay, what were your steps? Did you guys do to help you get through a disappointing time? Because it's not always clear when you're in the midst of it.
Right.
What to do.
Yeah. So maybe before we jump into what you did do to, face disappointment well, let's start with what are some things that you see that go wrong when people face disappointment and they don't navigate those forks in the road very well? What are some mistakes that people make in their thinking or their approach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know for me, just my disappointment of 10 years and counting of just walking through infertility, not expecting that, not anticipating that, and then walking through 3 miscarriages, 2 that were kind of back to back, and then 1 that was 5 years later. Very unexpected, very disappointing. And I think as believers, our tendency in those moments of disappointment, I know for me, is to turn away from God and to find quick fixes that soothe my pain. So whether that's little, simple, innocent things like the ice cream carton in the, closet, downing Coca-Cola to more extreme, like alcohol or drug abuse, or, just wanting to entertain yourself to death because you don't want to feel the pain of the emotions you're trying to escape. I know for me, there were temptations in that direction to want to escape the pain I was feeling and turn away from God rather than acknowledging God and bringing God into my pain and being honest with him. Like we see David in the Psalms over and over again, lots of emotions, lots of trials he was facing and he wouldn't run away from God, right? We see him crying out to God in the midst of his pain and being honest, like, God, where are you? Yeah. But then over and over again, we see him reminding his own heart, but this I call to mind, this I remember. Great is the Lord. He is the one to be praised. He is good. And so that is a mistake I think we can often make, is turning away from the Lord in the midst of our disappointments.
I've seen disappointment also really destroy relationships. trips. And Kristen and I had a huge opportunity where this could have happened. And we actually talk all about this in Not Part of the Plan. You know, Kristen, like she shared, went through, is on the journey of 10 years of infertility. I got married at 30. So I, you know, I didn't, you know, I wasn't even really like thinking about pregnancy. I was just like, maybe I'll find a man, like that'd be nice, you know, but I did end up meeting and marrying my husband, Dave. And about 7 months later, we found out we were pregnant. And I found out I was pregnant just a few weeks after Kristen had gone through her third miscarriage.
I think like a week.
It was like a week after. It was very close together. And so being very close sisters, you know, having written many books together, running a ministry together, being only a year and a half apart in age, that was a very hard season of one sister going through extreme disappointment, extreme struggle, a really low point, while the other sister is now me getting this blessing and this like, wow, this baby that Kristen has so desired. And so walking through that as sisters was hard. And it was that very, you know, real life example of what scripture talks about, like rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And it's amazing to say, and it's all by God's grace that we have made it through and are closer to each other, you know, like he's, my son, Davey is like, you're her, you know, you're his favorite. Like he loves Aunt KK so much. They have such a special relationship, but I've heard, you know, and this isn't to say, oh, you need to do things differently to the woman who's struggling and saying, but this is really hard. But just to say that there is hope when we do things God's way, when we see that we can, you know, rejoice with the story he has for someone else while also weeping, that relationships can get closer. They can get better. They can get stronger. And you know, you don't have to become bitter and draw apart. You don't have to, when you see that really good friend or that sister walk into the room with that thing you want, you don't have to leave and run away and say, I can't even be around that person anymore. I mean, you know, this was hard. It was a hard journey, but it's amazing to see that disappointment doesn't have to ruin your life. It doesn't have to make you bitter. It doesn't have to destroy your relationships. If you're willing to press into your relationship with Christ and allow his truth and his wisdom and his grace to flow through you, you can actually come out and say, wow, we made it through this. That was hard. It was a valley, but look at us. We're able to rejoice and weep together because it's God's grace who, you know, that allows us to do that.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it.
That is really good.
Love hearing the power of a testimony like that.
How did, so you kind of hit on it, or you did hit on it, but I'm still curious. Okay. So you guys have a fantastic relationship. Of course, all sisters have their difficulties. or siblings, I should say. I'll speak for me. But like, okay, so, you know, you guys are just trucking along, doing your thing, helping lots of people. And then this thing happens, right? Like this change in your relationship. How did you guys like navigate those first, like, probably like first couple of weeks of like, okay, now how do I look her in the eyes? You know, like what do you do in that moment where you're facing your frustration, your sadness, your happiness, you know, like what were those emotions that you guys were feeling that you had to work through, and how did you do that?
Yeah. There were lots of tears.
Yes.
The heart. I remember the moment Bethany told me that she was pregnant. We have a very open relationship. So we're like always asking each other like, oh, are you pregnant? Yes. And different things. And so, you know, it was a work day and we like to take walks around my neighborhood. We work out of my house a lot. And so we were on a walk and I just kind of casually threw it out there. Like, you know, any news, are you pregnant? And she was like, actually, yes. And then just started crying. And it was so hard for her in that moment to even share the news with me because of the miscarriage that I had just walked through.
Right.
And it was the hardest by far of my three miscarriages. I was much further along. It seemed much more hopeful. I was so optimistic things were going to work out. And then it just all kind of came crashing down right before I hit the 12-month mark, which is like a 12-week mark, which is a huge milestone, especially for me. I had never made it past like 7 weeks. And so it was just really hard. And then to see her just sharing, saying yes to this really great news, this blessing, but in tears and just telling me like, you know, I would have never timed it this way. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, this is just such a mix of emotions and like she said, the weeping and rejoicing, like, and then in my heart, like I knew God had taught me enough through this, you know, at this point, it was probably 8 years into my journey of infertility and miscarriage, to really recognize that God does have a unique story for each one of us. And it's a path that he calls us to walk. The mountains and the valleys ultimately for His glory. And I had been learning this lesson that I'm not going to find my contentment by looking to the left and right and changing something about somebody else's life, whether taking away their joy, whatever it is. I can only find contentment by faithfully walking the path God has set before me and fixing my eyes on Him. And so I'd been learning this lesson, not to say it wasn't still so hard and so emotional. And there were definitely things I wrestled with in my heart, like, God, I think for me, not even so much like, why would you give her this pregnancy and not me? It was like the timing of it all. Like, Lord, could you not have been a little more merciful in the timing? It just felt like sharp knives. I think for both of us, she's wanting to grieve well with me. I'm wanting to rejoice well with her. And there's just this hard tension and clash. And so, the weeks following, first few weeks, I think were hard. And we were both trying to figure out how to do that well. And, you know, I'm sure we didn't do it perfectly, but just leaning into that truth that God is like, He is God. We are not. He has His storyline for each of us. When we trust Him for the story, the good and the bad, trusting that He's going to work through it for His good, for our good and His glory, then there is hope in that. And I feel like that is what kind of anchored each of us and us having that perspective as sisters, I think allowed us to lean in rather than pull apart, to recognize God's story for each of us. And we were able to kind of unite around that and really support each other.
That's good.
I mean, I would say that something that was helpful during that process was for each of us to have people that we could go to to process and talk about it, because we're each going through such different things. And so I think that, you know, me being able to process my emotions and what I'm going through with a really good other, like a woman who can understand that whole process, was very helpful. And that being someone different than Kristen, because it's very hard for me to express like, well, I'm feeling so bad and all of this stuff when she's like, well, why would you feel bad at all? You know? And so, and then for her to have other godly women she could go to get counsel from and just encouragement and prayer, that was extremely helpful. So we both had our people we could go to get that encouragement. And you know, honestly, this sounds crazy, but for us, writing "Not Part of the Plan" was almost, I don't know, like therapeutic on being able to take a deep dive into what does it mean to trust God and, and processing those emotions. I mean, that was the first time you had really like written out in detail what you were feeling and what you were thinking. And I even learned new things about what you were feeling and thinking by reading the chapters in the book that you wrote about your journey. And so that was powerful. Very interesting, even as time went by, for us to continue to talk about this and process it, you know, as sisters. And it does take time. You don't have to, healing takes time. Grief takes time. It's very ongoing. So giving each other that space and just having a lot of compassion and mercy and recognizing like, okay, if someone's acting like frustrated or stressed or whatever, there's just a lot more going on. So just try to offer a lot of grace. I think that's something I wished I would have done more, because I just didn't fully understand. But as the years have gone on now, just learning more, like, let's just offer a lot of compassion and grace, because it's a lot to navigate and relationships are complicated on a good day. So,
That's good. Totally.
Kristen, I had a question for you. As a counselor, I know the power of writing something down. For a writer like yourself, what was it like to write your story down, but see the pieces come together in a way that you, maybe you didn't experience in an experiential way until you put pen to paper? Like, what was that like for you?
I enjoy writing. So I enjoyed being able to write down, and it was like processing it all again, but a little bit detached from the painful emotions of the moment, right? Like there was still painful emotions, even in writing. And like you were saying, things that you didn't know I was wrestling with or struggling with. I'm like, I wanted to be really honest. We both did. And not even shy away from sharing really how we were feeling at some points. And so for me, being a little bit detached from that initial experience and moment of pain, looking back on it, reflecting on it and writing about it, I think it really did help me process. And I think even through it, as I was writing my story, while also digging into scripture, digging into the word, digging into resources and studying as I'm writing the book, that was also helping to heal my heart in new ways and helping to draw me closer to the Lord, even more so than the first go around. So it was really helpful. And I'm so glad that we decided to write the book. And then, you know, more unexpected twists and turns happened even as the book was being published. published and beyond. And so we're like, okay, Lord, it is for all of us disappointment. It's not a one and done. It's going to continue on. But I think that could be helpful for anyone who's looking back and they might feel like, did I fully process that? Did I really work through that? Did I really pursue the Lord like I wanted to? It's not too late to do that, to journal, to write, to dig into scripture, write your own prayers to the Lord. We wrote prayers at the end of every chapter, whether we're talking about emotions or worry and anxiety or trusting God or facing disappointment, weeping and rejoicing at the same time, we would include a written prayer. And that's something I think anyone could do on their own. Just writing out their prayers to the Lord can be really healing.
Yeah, for sure.
It really is.
So speaking of the book, in the chapter about disappointments, you guys lay out four steps that people can take when they face disappointment, four stances that they can take. Mm-hmm. Talk to us, walk us through those steps, if you will, and any bits and pieces of your stories. I know we've talked a bit about Kristen's story. I know, Bethany, you have some disappointments that you share in the book too. Yeah. So talk to us about step one.
Yeah. So step one is to humbly submit to God's story for your life. And, you know, Kristen and I, as sisters, we talk about this. We always thought life would happen kind of like back to back to back. She's a year and a half older than me. So it was like, okay, she'll go through that. Then I'll go through it. You know, she'll graduate high school. I'll graduate high school. She'll meet someone. Then I'll meet someone. She'll get married. I'll get married. She'll
the good kids, stuff.
All the good stuff, you know, like all the bad stuff. No. Right. So I remember, you know, Kristen got engaged. We were shopping for a wedding dress for her. And I was thinking, okay, my story, my engagement will probably come next. I'm totally single, but of course he's around the corner. You know, of course Prince Charming is right there. So we actually open up, not part of the plan with this. I did a very random thing, and your listeners probably think I'm really weird at this point, but basically Kristen was shopping for a wedding dress, and we go into this shop and we lay eyes on what I thought was everyone's dream dress, but apparently it wasn't her dream dress. It was just my dream wedding dress. So I am, again, totally single. I'm in my early 20s, and it's just the kind of relationship we have. Kristen's like, well, why don't you try it on? And
oh my goodness,
the whole shop is just like, okay, but she's engaged. What is now this girl doing trying that? Okay, whatever. So I'm like, ma'am, can I get another changing room for my sister? She's like, okay. Like, what? So I do. I go and try this dress on, and Kristen's now like in the audience section. I come out and everyone erupts in cheers, and they're like,
you're
such a bride. And I'm single, you know? Or my mom's there, all the sisters are there. So then, you know, they do the final touches. You have to get the veil. Yes. You have to get the accessories.
Oh my goodness.
And they start putting them on me. I literally have pictures from this moment. And, you know, I decide, as crazy as I am, I'm like, if I don't get this dress, it will be gone when I get married one day. And just assuming I'll probably meet Prince Charming and get married shortly, because that's what God's story is going to be for
me.
Obviously. I do the absolute craziest thing. And I literally buy the dress. It was expensive. It cost over $1,000. And I'm like working hard, but I'm like, I have to get this dress. But literally, I just thought, like, I have this plan for my life. And of course, God is going to bless that. And he is going to write my story exactly the way that I want. And I was not, I can tell you.
Wait, can I say the funniest part though?
I don't buy a wedding dress at this shop. I didn't find one, but Bethany finds one. So as we're checking out, it's like customary for them to ask when your wedding date is, because they want to know, they want to make sure they can order the dress and get it tailored and all that in time. Uh-huh. So Bethany's checking out and the lady's like, so when is your big day, dear? Like, waiting, like, what is she going to say? And Bethany says, oh, I'm still working on that.
That's the best.
It was the most random. Word. It totally fits my personality. I am like so like random and like spur of the moment. Don't need to have things in order. Kristen and I are opposite in that way. She's very organized. So running a ministry together has been interesting. I'm like, let's go. And she's like, let's think. I'm like, no, who needs to think, you know? And so that's how it went though. She ended up finding a beautiful dress, but I will give the punchline away. I got married 10 years after that moment. That dress, it was like poofy, very full Cinderella dress. It sat in the back of my closet collecting dust for 10 years. And it became this reminder to me of like, okay, I had this plan and this is not the plan that God had for me. And so I'll give you the punchline. You know, I did end up getting engaged. And when I got engaged, it was, you know, 2018, very different than the time that I had bought this previous dress. And I just couldn't imagine walking down the aisle to my husband, Dave, in that dress. So I got a different dress. So now, and I still own that other dress. So I literally have two wedding dresses to my name.
That is hilarious.
And now I can't get rid of it because it's part of the book. It's going to be like a speaking prop one day. Yeah. It's just huge.
It will be, for sure.
It's at my parents' house. So I'm like, it's not to, you know, the relevance, whatever.
Oh, that is so fun. So what did humbly submitting to the plan look like for you after, you know, that year and a half, couple years came and Prince Charming wasn't right around the corner?
Yeah.
What did that look like practically?
Practically, it was this, I remember so many moments where I was sitting in my bed and I would just like pull my knees, you know, up and I would just start crying, whether it was a holiday or, you know, Kristen was like, oh, I'm going on a date after work. And I'm like, I'm going home to my dog. Cool. Mm-hmm. You know? And so it was just this coming, really this praying and really God convicting my heart to say, Bethany, what are you living for? Like, are you living for your life to go exactly the way that you want? Are you holding the pen to your story and saying, God, this is how my life has to go? Or are you willing to open up your hands and surrender? You know, my fists were clenched. Like, if you think about your own life, like, are your hands clenched and you hold your story and you're like, God, my life must go exactly the way that I want? Or are you really like Jesus, who came and said, not my will, but God's will be done? He was about humbly submitting, even going through the most excruciating, painful death. He was willing to do it because he wanted to fulfill the will of his Father. And so for me, I would think, okay, am I here to do God's will, to live for him? I mean, nowhere in scripture, it says that we are guaranteed marriage. Nowhere in scripture, it says you have to be married to fully live and thrive and honor God. Mm-hmm. And so it came to this point of just asking myself, like, you know, what do I think my life is all about? Do I think my life is about my own plan? Or do I think my life is about living for God, knowing him and telling others about him? I can do that no matter my circumstances. I can do that in any season of life. That was a hard process. It was regularly, you know, opening up those hands and saying, God, I surrender again to you today, again today, again today. The wedding dress is looking at me. I'm not getting married. I'm surrendering that again to you today. You know, humbly submitting God's story for your life is saying, God, I want your will, not my own. Your will be done, not mine. And just, you know, even reflecting on Jesus' life in the gospel and saying, that's exactly what our Savior did. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen us to live that way. We don't have the strength in and of ourselves. So I just encourage you, as you're listening, what is that thing in your life that you're holding with a clenched fist, whether it's wanting to have a child or getting married or something else, and say, God, I'm going to open up my hands and humbly submit this to you, because not my will, but yours be done. This is hard. Give me strength. And I'm going to do this again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And ultimately, isn't that what we want? Don't we want God's story for our life? Don't we want to live for him? Don't we want him to write the story for our life? It is so much better, but it's hard. So it's not a one-time thing. It's something I still have to do on a regular basis. And I think that's what it looks like. It's those little moments of choosing to humbly submit day after day, moment after moment.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah, it's those moments. I like how you use the word choose, because I think what we think, okay, our story, how we see it, this is what brings us happiness. This is what brings us what we want, really.
Yep.
Right? And it's really, we're neglecting, if this really is true, if what the Bible says is what gives us fulfillment and happiness in the end, it's kind of a reluctance to believe. So it's coming back, and like you said, choosing and saying, this is what I'm going to choose to believe in this moment, even though it doesn't feel like this. I really like that. So good. So how about step number two? How about number two? Like, what would be the next thing that someone would do? Because that's a difficult step in and of itself. What would be the next thing?
We'll be right back to the interview. But first, we wanted to share something that we are really excited about.
So, you know, we all have those times where we don't feel super connected to our spouse and we really don't know what conversations to have to get us to that connected place. And then on top of that, we're so busy that we don't prioritize those conversations.
And that's why we created the monthly live date night.
And monthly live date night is every month on a Friday night for 90 minutes, 60 minutes. We focus on a topic that you guys pick. And then 30 minutes, we do a Q&A, and it's live where we're all together asking questions and giving answers on topics related to your marriage, your intimacy. And we share tools, We have handouts that we call homework because we want you to be there to listen and to soak in, but we really want you to take action in your marriage too.
So come join us live for the next monthly live date night. Check the link in the show notes for dates and details.
All right, back to the interview.
Yeah. So just to review, because I know I need a review. Number one was humbly submit to God's story for your life. And then number two is trust that God's plan is for your good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it can be one thing to say, okay, Lord, I submit, but we're kind of like, I submit to your plan, but is it really good? I don't know. I don't feel like it's that good because these hard things don't feel really good. And I literally remember on my wedding day, after the main ceremony, leaving the reception, driving away with my husband, thinking that life was perfect. Mm-hmm. I just remember thinking, I'm marrying this amazing godly man that I've prayed for all these years. We have wonderful family surrounding us. They all live in town. They're all believers. Like, what amazing support. We have this great future ahead of us. You know, my husband has a great job. We're financially stable. Like, we're going to go on this amazing honeymoon. I remember thinking, you know, like, my life is perfect. What could possibly go wrong? Nothing's going to go wrong. And I think naively, I took that mindset into my marriage and I had no idea. You know, we come from a big family. There are 8 kids. We joke that our mom is like a birthing pro. So I'm thinking like the last issue I'm going to have is like infertility, like absolutely not. And so I go into my marriage, just whimsical, like, woo, thinking everything's great. And then, you know, we weren't necessarily trying to have kids right away. But we were open to whatever God wanted. I remember thinking, I'm so surrendered. I'm just trusting with his timing. Like, wow, little did I know what he was really going to call me to surrender. But I'm thinking, yes, Lord, whenever you just want to bless us with those children, we are open. And then, you know, 2 years go by, nothing happens. And then right around our 2nd year anniversary, I get pregnant. And then that ends in miscarriage, followed by 6 months later, getting pregnant again. That ends in miscarriage, which then sends us on a journey of, okay, what is wrong? Like, back to back. Miscarriages aren't normal. They're pretty like small percentage of women. So, you know, doctor visit after doctor visit, eventually getting diagnosed with unexplained infertility. They're telling us you both seem healthy. There's nothing like blaringly wrong. So we don't know what the problem is. You know, here are your treatment options and that's about it. And so we felt really discouraged and I think really shocked and just wondering in those moments, like, God, this plan isn't good. Mm. There's nothing good about this. What happened to that fairy tale dream, you know, I had when I was driving away from my reception, like, where did that go? Like, that's in the rearview mirror. And so for us, it was year after year then of not getting pregnant and walking that journey of infertility and wrestling and wondering, what should we do? How do we see God's goodness in this? And something that we talk about in our book, Not Part of the Plan, and something that God really helped me learn throughout what felt kind of like a season of drought, like a season of lack. And I just felt like, you know, I want to be fruitful, Lord. I'm trying to bear children to raise them up for your glory. And God really helped me see there are so many other ways that we can be fruitful. Mm. And it, for me, it doesn't, as a woman, especially, it doesn't have to mean bearing biological children. I can pursue spiritual fruit as I mentor younger women, disciple women, serve in my local church. Like, there's so much fruit and life that can come from serving the Lord. But, you know, for me, that wasn't the good life, right? Like, that wasn't the good life. This, in America, especially, we have this whole idea of like the good life, the white picket fence, the perfect family, everything goes well. And it was really a surrender of, do I really trust that God is good, that his plan for me, even in these valleys, that he's working something bigger than I can see? It's not the good life I had imagined, but it is his good plan for me. And, you know, one of our favorite authors, Nancy DeMoss Wolgamuth, says that anything that shows us our need for Christ is good. Anything that draws us closer to Christ really is a blessing, even though it doesn't feel like that in the moment. And for me, that was so true. And so I think my whole perspective of trusting that God's plan is good, I had to shift my perspective to rethink what is the good life. And for me, it wasn't getting that white picket fence and the little children that looked exactly like me lined up, you know, with this perfect family. It was, the good life was serving God faithfully, trusting him in the valleys, ministering to others, pouring out and really trusting that his plan was better than my own, that he is God and I am not. And one of kind of like the visuals we talk about in Not Part of the Plan is this idea that when we look at our life, like when we evaluate our life, really, it's like we're looking through a straw, like a tiny straw opening. And all we can see is like a little vantage point, right? It's like, we can hardly see anything. We can see what's happened in the past and what's happening right now in this moment. We can't see anything else. And yet we're the ones who were like, God, this isn't good. What are you doing? And God's like, you're looking through a straw. and I see everything. Yeah. The beginning from the end, your days are numbered. I planned when you would come into this earth, when you're going to leave. I have a plan and purpose for you, and it's much bigger than even you. Yeah. And your ultimate job is to become more like me, to love others, to love God, and to build my kingdom. Like, that's where true satisfaction, like, that's the good life according to God. And so for me, it really was that like recognition, that humility of God, you are God and I am not. I'm looking through a straw. Help me to trust you, to surrender and know that you are going to work good from this. I just don't quite see it right now in this pain. And so looking back now, 11 years in, I see so much good, that God's plan really is good. And I see good and fruit that he has brought from the pain, from the loss, even through the grief, just the ways I've been able to minister to other women walking through similar journeys. And then of course, ultimately God leading us down the path of adoption and looking in the into the two precious faces of my boys adopted from Ukraine exactly 1 year ago that my husband and I never would have adopted. We never would have pursued the path. Like, I know of international adoption if we had not gone on this journey of infertility and miscarriage and God redirecting our steps, showing us a different plan. And now having these two precious boys that I love to death. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm starting to see beautiful fruit, beautiful good coming out of this. And so we can trust God. He is a big and great God. His plans truly are good.
That's so good. I mean, I'm saying it like we have to slow down to really define what good is.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. It's like, you know, we think good equals easy, but maybe good equals something else entirely.
Yes. Yeah.
God's so plan, and yeah.
You could have saved those boys' life.
Oh, yeah. You
did. Especially now looking back on, what's happening in Russia. It is.
Exactly.
It is, yeah.
Exactly. Like, you could have saved, and that's good.
Mm. Right.
So beautiful.
I love
it. So beautiful. Okay.
Step three. Take us to step three.
So step three is to serve God wholeheartedly right now. I mean, I think for most of us, when we are experiencing or facing disappointment, that becomes the defining moment in everything about us. And sometimes we even start to identify ourselves as that thing, you know, like for Kristen, I am the woman with infertility, or for me as a single woman, I am just the single woman. And I remember, you know, during my season of singleness, feeling like, okay, my life will really begin and I can really begin serving God once this changes and once I reach, you know, A, B, C, or D. And I know so many of us feel like that. If we're in the midst of disappointment, okay, God, I can really live for you. I can really serve you. I can really make an impact once this happens, you know, once I'm past this. And I know for me, it, you know, I just had to ask myself, like, what, you know, it's hard to face the reality of like, what if this never changes? You know, like we can take steps, you know, like when it comes to singleness, it's like, I mean, I put myself out there. I was very friendly. I was available, you know, like I am not
friendly and available.
And I'm very tall. So people for sure know I'm there, you know,
and you're an influencer. Come on.
Like, come on, people. And so I just remember thinking like, okay, I can be faithful in trying to make myself available and trying to, you know, not hide in a corner, you know, and actually talk to guys. But outside of forcing a relationship to happen or settling, I knew ultimately like, wow, this is something that either God is going to make happen or he's not. Cause I literally felt like I was doing everything I could, you know, like I was very friendly and very available and at all the conferences and doing all the things, you know, I hosted a lot of singles parties. I was just around. And so I had to, you know, come face to face, like, am I going to choose to serve God wholeheartedly right where he has me, even if life never changes, or am I going to put this on hold when this happens, when this changes, when my circumstances change, then I'll serve God. And so I just had to come face to face with that. Like, okay, this is a disappointment. This isn't what I wanted. I don't want to be single. You know, like I wanted to be married, but that's not happening. So am I willing to fulfill God's purpose for me, which is to live for him wholeheartedly right now? Or am I going to put that on hold? And, you know, there are no guarantees. We don't want to live in like the doom and gloom, but there are no guarantees that we'll be here tomorrow or next week or whenever. Like, we are only guaranteed the moment that we have, you know? Yep. And so it's this choice of, am I going to live fully in this moment, in this day, in this community, in this family, wherever I am? Or am I going to put all of that on hold when this changes? And both of us know, you know, there's always a next disappointment that comes. You know, sure. I did end up getting married and I did end up having a sweet baby boy. But after that, my husband and I have gone through 3 miscarriages, you know? Wow. And so, you know, Kristen's gone through 3 miscarriages. Now I've gone through 3 miscarriages. And what am I going to do now? Am I going to put my life on hold and say, okay, God, I can serve you again. Once I get that next baby, once I, you know, stop going through miscarriages, then I can serve you. It's something that if we live that way, there will always be a next thing. It will never end. There will always be a disappointment. We're putting our life on hold for, we won't serve God until that next opportunity comes. Yep. So I just want to encourage you to serve God wholeheartedly right now with the people he's given you, with the family he's given you, with the church he's given you, because that's truly all we have. And there's so much more joy that comes from living presently in the moment, loving well, outpouring ourselves, than putting our life on hold and waiting for the next thing.
Yeah. That step I think is critical for people who are listening to this episode, who follow your stories and who are like, oh, but in the end, it all turned out great for them, right? Like she ended up adopting and now her life is full, or she ended up getting married when she thought she wouldn't. So for you to share that, like, there will still be disappointments. Yeah. You've had 3 miscarriages since then. Yeah. And you still have to make that choice to serve God right now. And so I think that's important for everyone listening, that you might hear some victories and that's beautiful, but there are still disappointments coming. And so you can't just say like, oh, well, it all worked out for them and it's not working out for me.
I know. I think that's how I feel. Sometimes you read the book and you're like, well, that's all in the past, you know? And I will tell you, when I wrote Not Part of the Plan with Kristen, I kind of felt like this is a good season. Like I like writing about the past and the hardships that have come, but we have Davey Jr. We're married. Life is so good. I had no idea, you know? Yeah. I thought, well, she's part of that small statistic of infertility or miscarriage, but probably not 2 sisters back to back in a row will struggle with that. So I just assume that's probably not going to be my problem.
Especially with your mom having 8 kids and not having, she didn't have miscarriages, right?
She had a few mixed
in. Oh, she did. Okay.
She just, you know, could always crank them out. And she had home births. I mean, that wasn't really the problem.
That wasn't the struggle.
So it's just, it's so important. Like it's not an arrival, you know, this destination. It's this journey that's ongoing. And so, you know, learning these truths, embracing these, you know, 4 steps that ultimately we're going to give you will equip you not only for today, but for the future, because it's something, you know, it's a journey we're still on. We are not, we haven't arrived. We're not perfect, but I will tell you that these truths have changed our lives and we are both like, this is what gives us hope. This is what enables us to sit here with both of you and have this conversation and not be, you know, totally broken and in despair, because we know, even though we both have unfulfilled longings and disappointments, we know that God has us here for a purpose. And today, I mean, just like today, what an opportunity to get to share with, you know, the Dear Young Married Couple community. I mean, that's a privilege and something to be grateful for.
Oh, well, we're grateful you're sharing.
You really are.
All right. You guys ready to take us to the last step? Step 4.
Last step, number 4 is keep your eyes focused on your future hope. And what kind of how we open this last step in the book is we say, disappointments, as hard as they are, give us an opportunity to cling to Jesus like he is all we have. In a weird sort of way, they become the very means to push us closer to what our soul needs most, more of Jesus. And that has been so true for me. Keeping my eyes focused on my future hope in those moments, especially some of my lowest points after those miscarriages. And then even the uncertainty in the adoption process, like there's so many things that can go wrong. It's the middle of a pandemic, a year before Russia invades Ukraine. Like we had no idea that was coming, like so many things. And you know, for a lot of us, and I'm sure a lot of people listening, you might have a feeling of weariness, right? Weariness in the disappointments, weariness in the loss, weariness in the prayers every day, praying. They're never getting answered. I mean, even though we've adopted these 2 precious boys, there's still a longing in my heart to want to be able to get pregnant and have a healthy pregnancy, to bear biological children. Like that desire is still there.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the joy of motherhood every day with my boys, like, it's so wonderful and joyful that the heaviness of the infertility doesn't feel as weighty as it used to, but there's still that longing. And so I know that feeling of day after day praying and longing and going, Lord, like, are you hearing me? You know, people with chronic illness, I know Bethany shares a lot about her migraines and like the ongoing struggle with just chronic illnesses. And it can feel so weary, the brokenness of this world, the brokenness of our bodies, the sin that we encounter, that for me,
remembering my future hope, remembering not only the here and now, my relationship with Christ, but the reality that scripture shows us from Genesis to Revelation, that this earth isn't all we have. It's not the end. There is a glorious day coming when all things are going to be made new, right? When God is going to wipe away all of these tears. And I just want to read this other quote. We quoted someone else in our book, but so beautiful, such an amazing picture for someone who is feeling weary in their disappointments. There is a day, an eternal day in the not too distant future, when all disappointment will be taken away and when all things will not only be new, but will remain new. Every possible source of disappointment will be removed and all our hopes will be fulfilled. And obviously they're talking about this future day that we have in heaven with the Lord. And that reality has honestly brought so much comfort to my own heart in my weariness, in my praying day after day of, Lord, thank you that this isn't my home, that this isn't where I'm going to be for all of eternity, that these struggles, these unfulfilled longings, these unanswered prayers, this pain, this grief, this isn't going to last forever. Right. That one day these tears will be taken away and my body will be made new. I will be fully 100% whole in Christ. And so that future hope, keeping your eyes focused and reminding your heart in those weary moments of that future hope we have in Christ as believers, like that's where it ends for us. It ends in victory. And we need to remember that. And that just personally gives me so much hope, especially in those really down moments.
That's so good.
I feel like you girls are preaching.
Yeah, I love it. Something that got me through some of the hardest times of my life was just a question I'd ask myself, do you really believe that what you believe is real? And if you really believe that this is not the end, like this is not, our life here is not the hope. The hope is to come. If we really believe that, then it does take the sting out of suffering and death.
Yes. Yep.
So I resonate with what you're saying. It's so good.
You guys, your stories are just beautiful and they're still unfolding because the author is still writing them. And I love hearing your perspectives on all of this. I love the perspective shifts that you've shared along the way. And it's resonating with us. And I know it's resonating with people listening. So thank you guys. Tell us where folks can find this book. If they're like, I've got to read that. That's my next morning devotional. I mean, you have a devotional. This one's not technically a devotional, but tell us where folks can find this book.
Yeah. So they can just go to our website, girldefined.com/trust. They can get it directly there, or obviously you can get it. I mean, it's all over the world. So you can get it on any major bookseller. You can get the audio version. You can get like the instant downloadable version. And we would just love to connect with you and encourage you. If you're listening and you're like, wow, I could use some more encouragement, you know, follow along. We're pretty much, you know, at Girl Defined on any social media site, on YouTube or our podcast, The Girl Defined Show. And it's just an honor to get to link arms and just encourage you as you're striving to follow Christ, because it's hard and the world isn't like, yes, go follow Jesus. It's very much the opposite. Our simple hearts are the opposite. So just it's a privilege for us and something we find such great joy in. And I know not part of the plan, you know, the free in-depth study guide at the end of each chapter, it can be used as a devotional, just like you mentioned, you know, Carissa, it really can. So
I encourage small group study,
small group. Doing it with a, you know, another friend, a mentor, it would just be incredible. So I really encourage you to get, you know, get a copy and work through that and work through that study guide, especially.
Yes. And you guys do small group studies on it, like on your, tell us about that. I know you just finished one, so I'm sure down the road you'll have another one. Share a little bit about that.
Yeah. So basically, if you go to girldefined.com/bookclub, you can actually see information specifically about Not Part of the Plan and the book club that we just wrapped up. However, all 8 of those episodes and the downloadable PDF guide will remain there. Nice. And so if anyone's listening and they're like, wow, I would love to read through this book on my own or with a friend while also listening to the podcast episodes that will walk me through different portions of the book and then get that free PDF download that will help you dig in a little deeper. That can be a great resource at girldefined.com/bookclub.
Nice. Okay. And then maybe just briefly share the titles of your other books so folks who are listening can also dig into that.
You got to remember. Okay. The first one's easy because the first one's actually called Girl Defined. So the name of our ministry, God's Radical Design for Beauty, Femininity, and Identity, and just a book all about biblical womanhood, which I think is a topic that's more needed each and every day. So we love that one.
Yeah. And next one, Love Defined, Embracing God's Vision for Lasting love and satisfying relationships. I got it right. That one's like, if you are single, if you are dating, if you're in that stage, because I know, I mean, I'm sending people to Dear Young Married Couple all the time. And a lot of the people who follow us are single. So I know they're listening. So if you are in the single or dating category, our book Love Defined is like the one for you.
Yeah. And then the next book we wrote is called Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart, Discovering the Beauty and Freedom of God-Defined Sexuality. I would say that's by far the hardest one we wrote because we're digging into God's design for sex and intimacy. But for single and married women, when we wrote it, Kristen was married, Bethany was single. So we were able to bring this really great dynamic perspective of sexuality for single women. How should we think about this before marriage and then after marriage? Yeah. So it's just we dig into the nitty gritty topics that some Christians, not you guys, but you know, will shy away from, like pornography addiction or masturbation, erotica. Like, how do we think about these things and biblical hope and truth? So
yeah, you guys don't shy away from it. It's so helpful. Very good resource.
Oh, y'all don't shy away from it. I mean, I love y'all so much. Which, yes, people need to listen to y'all's episode on our show, How to Prepare for Sex on Your Honeymoon with Adam and Carissa King over on The Girl Defined Show, one of our most popular episodes ever. So just a little plug to that. They were amazing.
That was a fun one for sure. So and then you guys have a devotional as well.
We do. Yes. We have a devotional that's just released last year as well. And it's called Shine Bright, 60 Days to Becoming a Girl Defined by God. And we always say, you know, it's not God's word, but it points you to God's word. And it really helps, you know, as a modern woman living in our day and age where it's hard to navigate, like, what does it mean to be a woman of God? This devotional Shine Bright takes you on a 60-day journey of just unpacking relevant scripture that really helps you to know how to live today as a woman of God and how to build that relationship with him.
This seems to be an amazing resource too for a mother and a daughter to go through as a devotional.
Do you guys have a lot of that, like mother-daughter duos doing it?
Yes. And you know, some moms will ask us even about some of our other books, like Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart. Like, you know, my daughter's 12, 13. You think she's old enough? And we're like, listen, she has questions. She sees magazines at the grocery store. Trust me, her friends are talking about it. Like, it's so great for her to receive a biblical worldview, even at a young age, so she can start filtering what she's hearing from the world through truth. So yes, we recommend all of our books for mother-daughter duos.
I know. I remember a mother came up to me one time and she was like, so I took my three daughters through your book, Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart. And we got to some of the discussion questions and I was feeling like embarrassed, but you know, the questions were there. So we just started talking about them. And she was so amazed to see that these were questions her daughters were asking. I mean, I know,
You
talk about this and you have incredible resources on this, but it's just important to know, like, you know, if you are, you know, mom listening and you're like, wow, I do have daughters, like, you know, even if it feels awkward, like be willing to have those conversations and you don't have to ask the questions. We ask them for you. So you can blame it on us. Blame us on the awkward questions, you know?
It's all there written out so for you. You guys, I love your resources. And folks, if you're listening, like rewind this and listen to them again, share each of these resources. We'll link it in the show notes as well. So you can just go click it and get it, get all of it. Especially if you have girls, Girl Defined is a hub for you. So thank you, Kristen and Bethany. We're going to close out the podcast episode like we close out all of our episodes.
Yeah. So rewind to your first year of marriage and fill in the blank, Dear Young Married Couple, with the advice you wish you would have received.
Ooh, that was a long time ago for you.
Yeah, I know.
How long have you been married? Actually amending that and starting to ask people, okay, like, go back to a time that was difficult.
There
in
you go.
Marriage,
yeah.
And give yourself the advice.
You go first.
Okay. This is going to seem random, but I would say, Dear Young Married Couple, one thing I wished we had really worked on early in our marriage was budgeting and financial planning. So my husband is actually a financial planner, but we were really bad at our personal budget for the first year of our marriage, first few years, and it caused a lot of stress in our marriage. So I'm going to give a shameless plug to an app that I get no money or any affiliate link to at all, but it's called YNAB, YNAB, You Need a Budget. And it has been life changing for our marriage. And I just wish going back, one of the biggest stressors could have been easily avoided if we had just had a good plan and a good budget, honestly.
Kristen so practical.
And Zach passed that on to us. So Dave and I had a very good start with YNAB from the beginning. So that wasn't our stressor. But I would say, Dear Young Married Couple, and I've said this many times, but just enjoy, you know, I would get so bent out of shape, like stress, like, oh, why didn't he do this? Why didn't
you do that, you know, rather than just like, wow, this is a journey. This is the very beginning. Just enjoy getting to know each other and learning how to live together, learning how to love each other. Like, don't get so bent out of shape if he didn't notice that your glass was empty and you didn't refill it right away and he doesn't even love you anymore. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, we can just get a little crazy. So just relax and enjoy a little bit. And, you know, I think that especially if you're listening to this podcast, you're intentional, you want to learn, you want to grow. So I think it'll come together. So just enjoy each other.
That's so good. There's a long journey to oneness.
Yes. Yes. Yep. The whole lifetime of your marriage is that journey to oneness.
I'm realizing that now, 14 man. Years in. Yeah.
Oh, you guys, thank you.
Thank this you has been guys incredible. So much.
You guys are awesome.
Aw. Thank you. This has been awesome. Thank you guys. We love y'all so much. Keep up the great work.
All right, friends. We really hope that you got a ton out of today's conversation. And if you want help, if you want personal guidance with individual counseling or couples counseling, or even help with you as a couple reaching the goals you have, just reach out. Give us a call at 916-678-1797 or shoot us an email at hello@dearyoungmarriedcouple.com.
No matter where you are in the world or in your marriage, we can set up a counseling session with you and we can work toward progress. We also post marriage advice regularly on our Instagram, which is @dearyoungmarriedcouple. And we'd love for you to join us in conversation there. All right, see you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.